All right, here we are, podcast 50-something. So before we get into this, I got a special guest in-house. We'll get the first read out of the way. So this segment is, or this podcast, is brought to you by 5280 Angler. If you're searching for expert guides and fly fishing fun on the Front Range, be sure to check out 5280 Angler. Whether you're looking to sharpen your skills on the South Platte system, plan the perfect date, or host the ultimate party on the water, 5280 Angler has your trip covered. The guides at 5280 have the passion, the skill, and the experience to serve you. Find web specials at 5280angler.com and check out recent trip pics on Facebook and Instagram at 5280 Angler. 5280 Angler is passionate about service and wild about fish. So that is my perfect segue into my guest, Mr. Jeremy Hamilton.
Hello.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, not much. How's it going?
Not bad.
Good.
Not bad. You fresh off of a full day of guiding?
Full day at Rainbow Falls. It was a good day. Started off cold, but finished off pretty good.
Nice.
Happy clients. That's what we like.
That's exactly it. Happy.
And that's what we're always looking for.
Happy clients is a good mantra to have.
Yes. Most important.
Need to have stickers that just say happy clients.
Happy clients. That's all we have.
Take note, Jay. Take note, Ben.
Yeah, we'll put them all over the place. Exactly. It'll be our new Instagram tag, happy clients.
Exactly.
Actually, that's not bad.
That is not bad at all.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll get a cent royalty for every one of those.
And I'll get two.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, that ain't bad, man. How's things been going?
Good, you know, we're winding down for the season, but we're still doing trips, you know, through Thanksgiving, even at, right after Friday, Saturday, right after Thanksgiving, we're busy. So, and we'll hopefully roll through the winter doing trips every now and again. But it's been a good season.
Good,
yeah,
good. Really, be good a little season. Bit different from last winter.
Yeah, we don't have boxwood this year. It's closed. So. You know, we got a lot of public water. We have Rainbow Falls, so it's supposed to be a good weather year.
Yeah.
Just saw La Nina is upon us again. So that means mild winter. Apparently,
mild winter again.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, we can hope. We'll get that. Get a nice mild winter, get some water up in the hills, and get that water coming back down through the tunnel.
Yeah, as long as it snows up in the mountains, then it can be as mild as it wants down here.
Yeah, I agree. Yep. I think it's already been hitting the mountains pretty good.
It looks so like it.
It's just
it looks like
keep
it,
it going, keep it going.
There's snow up there.
Yeah. No, that's good, man. So how's the last year been for you guys?
For us, it's been fantastic.
Season,
it
good.
was a great year of fishing. But, you know, with us, it always is.
Yeah.
But beyond that, our numbers of anglers that we took out this year is our best ever.
Good.
You know, I think a lot of it is due to the population increase that we're seeing.
Right.
So there's more and more people wanting to come out and learn how to fly fish. But it's probably from the people you bring us. From listening to the podcast.
I would hope so.
I think that's probably half of it at least.
I need to talk to Jay about this. I would like to honestly see numbers of like, hey, heard about this on the podcast.
I'm sure Jay would like to see that too.
Yeah.
But who knows?
You know,
when you get someone just calls up and wants to go on a trip, we don't care how they got to us as long as they got to us.
That's exactly it.
Yep.
It's all about the numbers. As long as they're calling you guys, that's all that matters.
Yep, exactly.
That's good. So how was the kokanee run? I saw you caught a
man.
Few. I think everybody went kokanee fishing.
Holy
this year.
Cow. Like this everybody. Year more way more than ever. The run at the Dream Stream was amazing. I mean, they kind of started in August and you know, they were pretty silver in there, but when the trout weren't in there,
right.
Or very few trout, the kokanee were in there.
Right.
And they're still there now. It's been probably the biggest run I've seen in a long time.
Really?
In a long time. And they're bigger than I've ever seen. We were catching them 23, 24 inches.
Ooh.
That's a monster kokanee.
That's a big pissed off fish.
Well, you know, and I think they, because we've had low water the last few years, I think some of those kokanee were not coming into spawn. This is a theory.
Yeah.
So they're in the lake for, you know, an 11 mile for another year
like
or two. and just keep growing.
So maybe. Colorado's got a B run of Kokanee. I like it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and they're still in there. So they certainly saved a lot of days for us. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're dying. You know, yeah. they're floating around. They're gathering all the all that fungus and whatever and looking fuzzy. But
feeding
but,
all the other fish now.
But, yeah, they're still there. We're still catching them along with all the trout, too. But
nice.
But good runs. Good runs.
Good. Yeah, it was almost like every other week somebody – Every other day, I would say, if somebody was like, "Ah, oh, Kokanee,"
yeah,
it was all over the place.
I've never seen so many people actually targeting them, and usually I don't either.
Right?
You know, it's okay. Let's go catch a couple here and there, and
right.
and call it a you know a day on Kokanee and go catch trout. But, I mean, I had days where we were catching 30, 40 Kokanee, and they didn't want to quit. Of course, it wreaked havoc on my net.
Oh,
in
sure.
my hands, you know, with those fish rolling around.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Those things get gnarly. It's such a weird transformation, you know.
Yeah.
They're just, you know, because they're silver as a dime.
And clean, beautiful.
Clean when they're, before they're running, and then they run, and they just, I mean, they just turn into
they
hell.
They look nasty.
They're gnarly,
They're butt ugly, but still at the same time, they're pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
I mean, those teeth are just gnarly.
Yeah, those things just sprout up. I mean, there's like. Just sprout up, and you're like, holy shit, man.
Yeah, exactly. What is this thing?
Yeah. Yeah, those are cool, man. There's a good run up on the green that we used to fish a long time ago. I haven't.
Really? I never did lately. That. Okay. Never did that one. I did Gunnison a lot when I went to school in Gunnison for a year. And I was fishing too much, so catching too many kokanee. So
that'll,
I couldn't go there anymore. But,
that'll happen.
But everyone knows about that one.
But
the Dream Stream this year was just... kind of an epic kokanee run.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully there's enough water to run that into next year, too, and there's enough kokanee to run into next
year, too. We will see. Yeah, we'll see.
That place is always kind of a hit or miss in that whole system.
And it's all dependent on water level.
Yeah.
This year we had it was running about 80 CFS.
Okay.
Years past, or the last few years, it's been about 40.
Okay.
40 to 50. So when you get 80...
Yeah.
And it's like a virtual flood, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And flooding with fish. So it was a good run, probably for that reason, just having extra water. And the water did get cold pretty quick, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So did you ever catch wind of that petition that was running around for the Dream Stream? Did you ever see that?
I did.
You heard anything?
Honestly, I did sign that petition. And what he's talking about is a petition to close certain sections
right.
of the Dream Stream where fish are known to spawn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have mixed feelings about. I don't know where if it went anywhere.
I haven't seen anything else since I signed it and I posted it, and that was like the last thing I saw.
I mean, honestly, it's a great idea, really. Of course, I don't know that it'll ever really happen. I mean, you got to be realistic about that stuff sometimes. It'd be kind of nice. But then the downside to that would be that people are still going to go there to fish.
Oh, yeah.
They're still going. Just as many people are going to go, and now you have less water to fish. The conflicts are going to get out of.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're already out of control. People getting pissed off and all that, but... I don't know. I don't know that it's the greatest idea. I mean, if it comes to that, you might as well just shut the whole thing down, period.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm interested to see what'll happen. I mean, I don't think it'll ever get to the point where they're like, all right, listen, we've got purple tape on here and here. Don't fish here.
And then they'd have to police it.
And they don't have enough people to police it.
No, I mean, they
now.
Don't even check fishing licenses. So, yeah. Realistically, I don't think it'll happen. It'd be nice to let those fish do their thing,
just
leave
them
alone.
Break.
Yeah, I mean, they get hammered.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you can ethically fish to the fish behind all those spawning fish, but problem is there's just too many people that don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to do that. They walk through the reds, and it's just a mess. So,
yeah. I mean, and like you said, that's probably the worst thing is people that don't know what's going on. Because if you're behind a red and you're fishing, you know, you're fishing to bows in the fall.
Exactly.
You're fishing the Browns in the spring, and people see that, like, oh, he's pulling fish off Reds.
Right.
Well, no, it's the exact
opposite. Or the fish feeding behind those Reds.
I'm picking up the egg eaters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that can be worthwhile.
Oh, yeah.
So, but, you know, we fished a lot. It, just to avoid any of that, I fished mid-river a lot this year and just fished all the deep runs. There's no fish spawning in there, but there's tons of big fish in there.
Oh, yeah.
Just fish those deep runs, and you avoid all of that. So, anyway, yeah, I don't think I haven't heard anything about that petition.
Yeah, I haven't heard or seen anything of it, so I was curious what if you'd seen it and if you'd seen it.
No,
what you thought
and
I haven't seen
those guys that started it recently, so I haven't had a chance to talk to them either and see where that's going, if anywhere.
Right. Well, so let's jump. I'm going to jump ahead to one of our Q&A topics. So, what do you think? What would be your state of affairs in Deckers and all these other waters? How's everything going out there?
Well,
we know how the dream is. We know Boxwood's
unfortunately closed for the winter.
On that
whole
stretch is done. Boxwood, North Fork.
Yeah, it's going to freeze up here pretty soon. So that's unfortunately out of the question for the winter. With Deckers, you know, it's fishing great. It really is. I mean, I was there. I haven't been there a lot recently. I've been going out to Dreamstream just because of requests and all that. But it's been fishing fantastic. I was there a few days ago, and I mean, the fish are just feeding. Every single thing I put on, they ate. Everything.
Nice.
They're just in feeding mode. You know, of course, it's going to change. But
once
it gets colder, they'll be on all midges. But
yeah.
But for now, they're feeding.
Strike while iron's hot, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, just... Yeah, don't go when I'm there.
There you go.
Just stay away.
Stay away.
And that's, you know, that's the unfortunate problem with anything locally anymore. Pretty much the South Platte in general.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many people. It's, you know, it used to be, and you probably remember, going out in the wintertime, you got the whole river to yourself. Now, I mean, you go out, if it's even a somewhat nice day, and it's packed.
Yeah.
Those poor fish don't ever get a break. So,
nope.
You know, it is what it is. You know, we can't avoid it. And if you want to go fishing, well, that's the game.
Bundle up.
So yeah, exactly.
I know one of my favorite trips that we I haven't done in 2 years, but we go to the San Juan in like late February.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still kind of wintry, kind of cold.
Yeah.
I mean, there's days if the weather's bad, you will not see anybody in the braids.
That sounds good.
And it is good. It's just absolute. Just perfect.
Yeah.
All you hear is water. You see nobody.
Yeah.
It's great.
You know,
I love that.
The one time I went there, we went in March, and we didn't really see anyone either. The weather was actually pretty nice, but there just weren't. I mean, most of the people were hanging out at Texas Hole, but that's about it. You walk around in the braids, and you don't see anyone all day, and it was really pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah, the braids are a good you can get some privacy if you... You know, if you want some privacy, you can get some privacy.
Yeah, pretty easy. And feel like you get lost too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Stay get away separated from all your buddies.
Yeah. Yeah. Kitty hole is the big draw in the braids, and I mean, thank God it's 100 yards from the parking lot, and not
easy to
not
easy
a quarter
to
mile because everybody goes there and congregates
and
there.
And then leave them there.
Fine. Yeah. Stay there. I'll go.
Walk,
I got a bunch of other holes
your
I'm
way
get to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So winter fishing is coming.
Mm-hmm.
up.
Yep.
Midge time.
My least favorite time of year. Uh-oh. Some people say it's their favorite. I don't know. I mean, who doesn't like throwing big bugs?
Big
you
bugs
know,
are fun.
So I don't I mean, you know, of course we fish it and I catch fish and all that, but and it's cold. You know,
that's
come on, people.
That's the worst
it's cold.
Part, 'cause it's cold.
As you know, I turned 40 this year, old man now. And when that thermometer goes down into the 30s, I think, what am I doing? I want to sit at home and tie flies, not stand out in the river and freeze my ass off. But you know, you got to go catch fish. So so it's midge time, but don't ever leave out the Pat's rubber legs at Deckers in the wintertime. That's the key right there. If you don't like to throw little bugs. Put
just
on a patch
pats.
Rubber legs. Eh, you know, put on a Chocolate Thunder, RS2, something like that too. But Put on a pet's rubber legs in all sizes, and they'll eat it all winter long.
Yeah, they do love that fly.
I mean, that's like I know.
It's so funny. I mean, that's like the one fly you can throw, and they will eat
and
the
it's stupid.
Shit out of it.
And it's stupid.
Yeah.
It's a dumb fly. It looks like a child. I mean, children can tie it.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, that thing works.
Oh, yeah.
So, and it's been working everywhere. Deckers, Dreamstream, Pueblo. Mm. Been catching them on Pat's rubber legs all year.
That was one thing I didn't throw at the San Juan the last time. I should have, just to test it out.
I'm sure it'd work.
Why not?
it's big, stupid fly. It works everywhere else.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, okay, I'll eat this. And it'll be the hot fly down there. I'll name it something else.
Yeah,
like, oh, it's
Steve's
Navajo
rubber
taco.
Legs. Yeah.
Oh, hell yes. So being that we're heading into winter, what are you tying now? What do you tie up mostly during the year?
Boy,
not even mostly, but like.
Yeah, you know, in the wintertime, I try to restock my boxes for the upcoming season.
Right.
You know, the basic stuff, juju betas, juju midges, bars emergers. I use so many PMD bar emergers. I have to try to tie as many as I can in the wintertime.
Right.
And you know, all the basic stuff really. But as far as for winter patterns, the juju Betis is a good one. Purple. I mean, you know, I'm sitting here looking at your tying stuff, and you got all the purples, blues, and reds out. That's key for wintertime.
Yeah.
That's what they can see. So the purple juju Betis, the Charlie Craven flies are great. The poison tongue, the blue poison tongue, that's a good one. Boy, what else am I tying?
What do you run on your purple jujus? Like two strands of purple and a strand of black?
No, you know what I do? And this is my little secret tip.
Oh. I'm going to bleep
take
this
note,
out.
Take note. Yeah. It's all going to
be
beeped.
Like, beep, beep, beep. And then I beep, beep, whip finish and beep.
So instead of doing the super hair.
Okay.
Because that's a pain in the ass to tie with.
Oh, yeah.
I do tubing. Midge tubing.
Okay.
And it's way more durable.
Yeah.
And I don't have to put the resin on it or epoxy, whatever you use. I don't do that. I just do the tubing because it's kind of, you know, see-through a little bit.
Yeah.
Purple tubing, olive tubing,
yep,
and black. Those are the three colors I'll use in the wintertime. And, man, they love it.
Okay.
And it's super fast to tie with.
So it's kind of like a, what's that pattern? Like a flashbang.
I don't know that one.
I think it's right around the same thing. It's tubing. Okay. You get a little thread, a little flash, and then bring your wings back.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I'll do a tail or not. It doesn't really matter, honestly.
See, that's one I'm always, like, torn on midges. I'm like, do I want a tail or not? And I'm like, no.
Well, you know, for the betas, yeah, you know, you put the tail, but
if you're tying RS2s and WD40s without tails, you're doing them wrong. But.
Yeah, but.
Those are my.
Let the fish determine.
That's true.
Because they're fish. They're stupid. They don't count tails. They don't, you know, there's
why Pat's works.
Yeah, exactly. That's why Pat's works. That's why the friggin' mop fly works and the squirmy wormy, all those stupid, stupid flies, they work. So what does it tell you? Is a trout sophisticated? No.
No.
Does it care if your fly has a tail, a tiny little nub of a tail?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
They're stupid.
Yeah. They're triggering on a profile, I think.
Yeah, and you know, we like to think that they're sophisticated and you know, we try to outsmart them and,
right.
You know, if you put the rib just right, you know, and look, yeah, it looks good to us, but the fish really don't care. If they're eating midges, if they're eating black midges, if you have a black midge on, they're probably going to eat it.
Yeah.
So, you know, as guides and you know, probably most expert anglers say, you know, what are they eating? What are they eating today? It's a perfect drift is what they're eating, not the perfect fly.
Yep.
Because if you have the perfect fly but a shitty drift, they're not going to eat it.
Yeah, if that fly's scooting through the water column because you're dragging.
Yeah, they don't care.
Nope.
So,
no way in hell.
So, yeah, that's my primary tie is that with the tubing.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah, jujus are just deadly.
Oh my god,
everywhere.
And then you know, and then if I want to do just a midge larva, I'll just skip the flash and the legs and just do the Bars Pure Midge.
Love those.
Yeah, I mean they're so simple, but yeah, man, they're deadly.
Yep.
So and then
little key on those people: if you're going to tie those midges and you're going to tie them small, use the micro tubing. Don't get small. Do the micro.
Yeah, I always do micro or midge. Yeah. Anything below a 20, I do the micro.
Yeah, because you get like the small. I've got some that I tied with a small, and it's just a hair too bulky on a 20.
Yeah.
You know, that body gets real fat,
pretty fat,
real quick on the ass end.
Yeah.
But if you use the micro.
Yeah. And I make mean, sure
it is flat and just.
And make sure you use the 14-aught thread, too, to keep that bulk down as well. Mm-hmm. So another, and here's another beeping moment. This is, you want to,
shit,
another secret.
21:39 into the podcast.
There you go. Don't everyone stop listening. At Deckers in the wintertime, a candy cat or caddis candy. Oh my god. You don't know the caddis candy?
Here we go.
The puzzling look on Steve's face.
Yeah, I'm going to,
he doesn't know.
Going to the Google machine.
They are on those hard, at least through the early winter, you know, through December and into January. They will eat those like, you know, in like a 16 or 18. They're all over them because caddis larvae are in there all the time too.
Right.
And especially if people start walking around and, you know, if it's a busy day, those things are killer.
Okay. So you do the bead, you do no bead?
No. What?
You're like that style?
Yeah, that one. Okay. It's not a bead. What it is, what I use to tie it is the Glamour Madeira that's used on the Top Secret Midge.
Yep. It's
tough to get a hold of that stuff, but you go to thread stores and they can order it for you. I use that and then some tubing.
Yep.
Midge tubing pulled up over the top and then just rib it and use brown thread for your head.
Ah.
Wire rib. It's a really simple fly, but
yeah.
It works. And I use it throughout the summer too, you know, for caddis larvae.
Okay.
But it's one, you know, like I said, you know, you talk about winter fishing and midging. If I can avoid throwing 22s, 24s, I will.
Yeah.
And that's what I'll do. And they eat it.
Ah. You know?
So there's a little secret.
See, there you go, people. Yep.
And I like to use big flies. I like to use big tippet. I like big flies, and I cannot lie.
I like big flies, and I cannot
lie.
Okay. I like it.
Yep.
Yep. What do you put those on? Like a...
I use a...
like a 2488?
I use a... No. You can.
Or is that kind of too straight for the...
You can. I use a Daiichi. Profile. I don't know the model.
Okay.
The model hook. Because it kind of curves, and then it'll go flat at the eye. You know, it doesn't curve down.
Okay.
It's not a down curved tie.
Yep.
So I think it just looks a little bit better. But
yeah,
a 24
on that one, it looks
at 24.57, whatever. That's fine. You know, it all works.
Nice.
There you go.
Now you got tips.
There's
people.
The secret.
Now you got.
You're
the,
welcome.
The hookup, thanks to Jeremy.
You can send checks to my attention.
Yes. Don't. Don't send them to anybody else. Send them to Jeremy.
PayPal. That's fine.
PayPal works too. Venmo.
Yeah. Yeah.
At Outtrout. At Trout.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a second.
That's not mine.
That's not mine.
Oh. So Christmas is coming up.
Mm-hmm. What are you getting me?
Getting you the joy of guiding me at Boxwood in April.
Huh.
Yeah, you kind of get screwed on that one.
Yeah, that's a bad deal.
You get the short end of that stick.
Yeah, what the hell? It sounds like a gift for you. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you're going to ask me what
do you think? What are you thinking good gifts for your fly fisherman?
Oh, man.
For the fly fisherman in your life.
Well, I'll tell you what I want. Of course, it's expensive, and, you know, I probably won't ever get it from those in my life, but the rod that is, I think, one of the best rods out there right now, and it's kind of obscure nowadays is the Loomis Asquith, the G. Loomis Asquith. Have you fished with that thing?
I have not.
Oh, my God.
I've heard good things, though.
Oh, my. Of course, it's $1,000.
Yes.
But, oh, my God, it is a sweet rod. Sweet rod. So, you know, if you're the kind of person with all this extra money to burn, I'm not that guy, but
I know a guy like that.
Yeah, we both do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got issues.
And
and he's a Scott guy.
Yeah, I know. I keep telling him, you need to throw those things away and get a real rod. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
No.
But, you know.
It'll never happen with him.
Yeah, he's far from our influence now.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus he's a two-handed convert now.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He was just in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Came back, ordered a new Scott.
Two-hander.
Yep.
Oh, man. I would love to do that. Have you ever done that?
I haven't.
No.
It's on my list of 2018 things to do.
Yeah.
Is start spay and two-handing something.
And that's what you need for your Christmas present,
yep.
A two-handed rod with a big-ass reel.
Big reel.
Yeah. Beyond that, though, I don't know. There's always little gadgets here and there that everyone goes through and use. I don't know. I mean,
I'm always like the guy that's like, maybe I need a new pair of nippers. And then I look and I've got like four.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. Maybe no. A new pair of forceps. Well,
you know what? I've got an idea here with, or something came to mind. Boots.
Mm. You were speaking boots. To the freaking choir on that one. Mine blew out on the last trip.
So I've got a recommendation for you if you haven't looked for them.
Okay.
You have a pretty wide foot?
Yes.
Fairly wide. I do too. The Sims mm-hmm. Headwaters Pro boot. Everyone that I know that has gotten it, myself included.
Right.
They're the best boot I've ever owned.
Hmm.
Get them in felt.
Really?
You know, they're kind of realizing felt isn't the sole culprit in spreading invasive species. You know, the stitching, the laces, all that crap is still a problem. So we're starting to see felt making a comeback.
Yep.
You get felt, you put studs in it, you're Spider-Man in the river. You can go on anything. And, it's good to be safe.
Yeah. And plus the whole felt... I think the whole felt attachment technology has changed since the last time I had felt boots.
Like flapping off of there?
It was like glued.
Yeah.
They just glue on the felt and you're done.
Yeah.
You know, and I know Sims,
they stitch it.
They stitch it.
Yeah, I mean, I wear my felt all the way down to the plastic underneath.
And then do they mark your little
where to put the studs
and all that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I just put them wherever. You know, I'll put them around the edge and then a couple in the center. Yeah. But... Oh my God! It's a huge difference.
Yeah, that's what I need to do. I've got new boots are on my list of.
Yeah, hey, I would get those.
Hey, Steve, you're a good guy. Oh, thanks, Steve. Here's your gift.
Here's $200 boots for
you. Here's $200 boots, Steve. Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate that.
That's so lovely of you, Steve.
Exactly.
But I I have them in the rubber too, though.
Okay.
You know, for wintertime, walking around in the snow and all that, or going, you know, like at Rainbow Falls, where you don't need felt. So don't wear them out. Just wear, man, they're awesome. Everyone I know that has them has two pairs. It has the felt and has the rubber.
Nice.
Do yourself a favor.
There you go.
There you go, right there.
Did you, before we get into this next thing, let me say this real quick. I got another question for you.
Okay.
So this next segment is brought to you by Western Visions Lanyards. Western Visions Lanyards is the home of unique and individually created lanyards crafted right here in the USA. These lanyards incorporate various natural stones, bones, and wooden beads along with high-quality fitments, ensuring each one-of-a-kind lanyard will serve you for many seasons to come. Remember, life's too short to fish with an ugly lanyard, so go to westernvisionslanyards.com. Okay. I got one. I love it. What do you use for a lanyard?
I had a lanyard, and then I've switched up this year. I actually went to a little chest pack.
Okay.
Because I was finding, in the front pocket of my waders, I always keep all, you know, a bunch of crap that I like to carry around with me.
Right.
My weights, my strike indicators, all that stuff. But in the summertime, I like to wet weight a lot.
Right.
Then I've got this pocket in my waders full of crap that what do you do with it?
Mm-hmm.
So I tried a chest pack last year, didn't really like it, went back to my lanyard. Then I have this old Orvis chest pack I've had for, I don't know, 15, 16 years. And I went back to that thing, and I never used it back then when I got it, because it came with the waste pack too.
Mm-hmm.
I love that thing. It's nice. Awesome. I mean, it's and it, you know, so it doesn't stick out real far, so I can still see my feet when I'm wading and all that. And it's a perfect size.
Nice.
So, you know, sorry, I don't have a lanyard. I can't push the lanyard, but you can send me one, and I'll try it out.
There you go.
But before that, I'd use a lanyard, just a standard, you know, run-of-the-mill lanyard.
Okay.
So good to have all those tools handy.
Oh, yeah. I just started fishing with mine. I love having everything right there.
Yeah.
You know, tippet, nippers, weight. I mean, just everything.
Everything's right there. Yeah.
No, you don't have to fling around a pack. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing that would be really good is if I thought about putting like a fly box up there, but then I'm like, it might be a little bulky, but
yeah. Maybe,
I guess it's got a couple fly patches. I could just load those up on the side.
Yeah, you know, or if you do one of the really thin, the low profile boxes, you know, mm-hmm. just a small one, keep, you know, your common used flies in there. I've been thinking about doing that, although I have too much crap in that thing already. But yeah, I mean that would work too.
Nice. So did you? What do you think about that Johnny Cash reel? Did you see that thing?
Yeah, I did. It's pretty sweet.
It's pretty sweet. I don't know about
boy. The
black's a little rough.
Well,
it could get a little scratchy.
Yeah, it would look pretty bad pretty quick. That's the kind of thing I don't know if you use that thing. Well, yeah, you got to.
That one would be a rough sell for me to use. I'd be like,
It'd be a rough sell for me to buy. I mean, any Able reel, I mean, as sweet as they are.
Yeah.
That's a lot of dough for a reel. Yeah, they are.
I mean, they're. I fish the shit out of my Able.
Yeah,
and I've got the dancing bears.
Yeah,
but it you know it's got like two tones of green on it. So
yeah, you can't see it as much. Yeah,
but that one, I mean, it just that shiny black on it. I'd be like,
yeah,
you're on the shelf. I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably more what people would do anyway.
I think
it is pretty sweet though.
Yeah, I think it's gorgeous.
It is sweet. I'm personally a Ross Reels guy.
Yep.
Keep it local-ish. Colorado-ish, anyway.
Montrose-y.
Yeah, although they're owned by the same company that owns Able.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's funny, isn't it?
Yeah. So, but they still make them here and all that.
What's your favorite Ross reel?
Evolution, LT.
The two?
The LT. The most, not the, well, I haven't tried the Evolution R yet.
Okay.
That's the new, like, super lightweight. I mean, it looks pretty sweet. Right. It's really light.
You're talking the one before.
The one before
they did in the brown trout limited run? That same kind of...
I don't know. I never saw
nice, man. They just look so good.
They're solid. Know. They're so solid. They're flawless. They do their job.
Yeah. Everything by Ross is always just money. I've got a Canyon 3 on my 7-weight.
Oh, man. Old school.
Love that thing.
I have on my guide rods, I do a the Cimarron 2.
Mm.
The new Cimarron. Those are good solid reels.
Yep.
You know, reliable.
Yep.
And they work great. And they're cheap.
Yeah.
Relatively.
Yeah.
They're not, I mean, 50 bucks.
No, but Ross has always been a rock star, man. If you look at just like the old school Ross stuff, you know, like the Evos that you have, the first run of Cimarrons.
Mm-hmm.
And even like the first run of the Gunnisons, the original Gunnisons, even the new I've got ones a Gunn- are just so nice. But
the new ones are the same. They're the same as the old. So and I have nice. It. My first real was a Gunnison.
Really,
and I still have it. I put it. It's a. I think it's a size one.
Okay,
one or a two, and I use it on my 3-weight, and it works flawlessly.
Yeah,
it's perfect. You know, it's got some wear and tear, but I still have it.
Nice.
So, I won't ever get rid of it.
I kind of regret it that I sold my. It was my first Ross reel. I had a Colorado 2.
Okay.
And that like slate gray, the click.
Yeah,
and Paul.
I have one of those too.
God, I love that.
I have it in my car right now too.
Nice.
Yep.
We're gonna make a deal, kids.
Nope.
I'm about to make a deal on eBay, kids.
Nope. No, yeah. That stuff I won't get rid of.
Yeah, anything that, I mean, just like I said, any of those old school Rosses are just so nice.
Yep. They still build them just as nice now.
Yeah. I mean, bulletproof and smooth. That's the one thing I like is the drag is smooth from click to click. It's not like
yep. It's real not herky jerky. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's so many reels out there that are that way too, but you know, you have to spend $500-$600 yes. or more. And you know, for $200 or $300 you get a good solid Ross that has high quality drag and all that. So yeah, anyway, that's what I like to use.
Yeah.
So but that cash reel is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I'll take one of those with my Loomis Asquith, please.
Ooh. Geez, that's a setup.
That's like as much as my car.
What would that be? A grand?
Close to $2,000.
$2,000, then you put a line on it.
Is that real? What's that real? $800 maybe?
Oh, it's
eight or nine?
Like $1,150.
Oh, it is? Oh,
yeah.
My God. Oh, because of the limited edition and all that.
That's
a lot for a reel. That's too much.
Yeah, I mean, I've told the story a million times, but I had to beg and plead that just to buy that one I've got.
Oh,
my
bet.
Wife was like, no. And I'm like, one time, I'll never do this again.
Right, it'll last forever.
Until the next series comes out, then I'll try again.
Yeah, but until then, this is it.
Yeah, so that's like my setup. I'm like,
that's pretty nice.
Rod's kind of pricey with this reel on it.
Yeah, $200 rod, but what kind of rod do you have?
I've got a one.
Oh, okay. Another
$200. There's no $1,000 ask.
Yeah, yeah. We'll low-end stuff.
Yeah. So I think we talked about when you start prepping, because you're already starting to prep, or you will start
For us, there's no downtime, really. I mean, if we're not out guiding, we're tying.
Right.
So, and that's the prep, you know. So days off, even in the summertime, we're tying and all that. If you can wake up, but so the prep never really stops,
right?
But you know, this is high gear for tying, you know. So just like I'm sure for most everyone out there.
Oh yeah, I think now is going to kick in. You're going to
as we start getting the snow and all that, you know. But don't stop fishing just because you're tying.
Mm-mm. Get out there and fish more.
Fish more. Just not when I'm out.
Exactly.
Didn't we already? Well, I think we already talked about this.
We did. Stay in town.
Well, if you see me, just go. Just leave.
Just stay in town, people. How about the revival of the South Platte through town? I don't know if it's even a revival. It's been a couple years in the making. That's been getting better and better.
Yeah. And, well, you know, honestly, because I live in Colorado Springs, it's not something I'm really in tune with.
That's true.
I have heard about it, seen it.
Yeah,
I know Jay has fished it a few times.
Yep.
It's not just a carp fishery anymore. There's trout, surprisingly.
A lot of big trout.
And decent ones, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's cool. I wish we had the same thing in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, that'd but be rough, man.
We have Fountain Creek, which is really just a mud hole and, you know, homeless people all over the place. There's no plans to revive that, I don't think.
Nah.
So, you know, well.
Oh, well.
Jealous of you guys. But, you know.
Let's go over the mountain. Go fish Dream Stream.
Yeah, boo-hoo.
It'll be, it's good, man. It's looking good. A lot of people out catching a lot of good fish.
Really?
So
okay.
Hopefully they're doing their part and being responsible, and the fish are going to.
Is the water clean now?
They still recommend.
Cleaner.
Like, in spots. They're like, don't wet wade.
Yeah, you don't want a...
wear your waders and then go home and...
You don't want a hypodermic needle in the heel.
Exactly. Okay. You know, wear your waders, go home, maybe, you know, spray them down with like a one-part bleach, 10-part water down the heel.
See, that's the one thing about that I can't do. It just smells so bad and...
Yeah, there's spots where you're like, God, damn, I ain't fishing in this.
Ugh, nasty. But, you know, if you only have an hour or two to fish, I mean, that's a great, great option. And not many people are fishing it.
No.
At least not that I know of.
Nope. It's picking up, but like you said, not everybody's on it just yet.
Right. So. I mean, still for carp, that's the thing. But trout is a kind of a, it's a secret.
Uh-huh.
Ish.
Secret. Was.
Ish. Yeah. Not anymore.
It's getting out. So you don't like to be cold.
I mean, who does really?
No, nobody does.
Doesn't mean I don't
Our
get out there
in
and
Idaho
get cold.
Does not like to be cold.
No,
at all.
But you
he's
know,
a pussy.
He I was going to say that too. He's a little, I don't know.
So that being said, what's your favorite season to fish?
Favorite season? Well, it's a tricky question, actually, and I'll tell you why. Fall would be easily my favorite season to fish, as far as the fishing. You know, the fish are just feeding. Good water temperatures. You have the big fish coming out, you know, coming out of hiding to spawn right. and all that. But, and the weather's, you know, usually perfect mm-hmm. or about perfect. But the downer to the fall is all the people.
Yep.
Every, you know, going out to Dreamstream and people that don't give it the time of day any other time of year,
they're
you know,
there.
They're out there and acting like they own the place and you know, it sucks. And honestly, in October, I mean, that's really when people are hitting that is mm-hmm. October 1 to October 31.
Yep.
November 1st, they're out of there. So, and the fish are still there. Not that you guys need to know that.
Right.
Fish are still there, but they don't care about it otherwise.
Right.
And I actually take 2 weeks in the middle of October and go on vacation. I go fishing in Florida where there's no one there. You know, I go, right. go looking for redfish with limited success so far. Oh. But it just drives me insane going out there and seeing all the people and all the ridiculous stuff going on out there. You know, people walking on reds, people screaming at people walking on reds and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and trying to be the police and, So for that reason, I know I'm getting off a little bit here, but for that reason, the fall is kind of becoming one of my lesser favorite times.
Right.
Just because of the crowds. So, you know, if I'm talking Dreamstream, I love fishing there in the summertime. There's hardly anyone there. But all around, I'd say late spring.
Okay.
Late spring, early summer when runoff is starting.
Right.
You know, you get to it's warming up.
Yep.
So you get the nicer-ish weather.
Yep.
Can still snow. But then you get to throw the big flies.
Yes.
That's my favorite. I love throwing big flies. So
yeah.
whether it's streamers or stone flies, worms, crane
yep.
flies, whatever it is, just big stuff.
Yeah.
So, that would be my favorite for sure. Probably late spring, early summer.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah?
I like
what about
it.
You?
I don't know. Fall is always fun, like you said, but then you get all the heroes.
Right.
And
it's so much worse with all the social media stuff now, everyone wanting to get that one picture, that hero picture.
Oh, God.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Come on,
yeah,
people.
Yeah, it's, it's pretty bad, man. I tend to lean more towards summer because I've got this one spot back home that opens mm-hmm. up July 1st.
Okay.
And it's up in the mountains. It's small stuff. It's, you know.
What are the GPS coordinates?
3-8 and a 0-8.
Where are the GPS?
My GPS isn't working.
Oh,
damn you, Magellan.
Oh, man.
But, you know, that's one of my
cool.
deals. Is
yeah.
I'm always geared towards summer because I always look forward to that opening day.
And go fish dry
just,
flies?
Just throwing, you know, little. Either, you know, small renegades, small atoms, or even bigger stoneflies to just cut throats.
Yep.
All
oh,
day
man.
Long. You know?
That's tough to
summer,
beat.
Summer's hard
that
to
is
beat
tough
for
to
me.
Beat. Yep. I
but
hear
I'd say it's either that or fall.
Yeah.
Fall and even, you know, like you said, spring. There's a lot of aggressive fish.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things about spring is rainbows are notoriously, I think, not thought of as really super aggressive as a brown.
Right.
But
they
you
certainly
get them
can
in the
be.
Right spot, they will be.
Oh, hell
and
yeah.
They will, I mean, they will run your ass up and down the river quick.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, and everyone thinks of big browns as being the streamer eaters and all that.
Yep.
I can't tell you how many big rainbows. I think, honestly, I've caught more big rainbows on streamers than I have browns.
Really?
Maybe because I target them a little more.
Right.
But you know, I tend to fish that time of year more than I do in the fall for the browns.
Right.
I mean, personally. So, yeah, I think I've caught more big rainbows on streamers than browns.
I believe it.
They're aggressive. Yeah. And they'll eat a little streamer that looks like a rainbow.
Yep.
I mean, they don't care.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's like a, it's a weird, I don't want to say a misconception, but maybe just a not really known truth that, yeah, they're rainbows and they're not docile as you think right. they are. They're just but as
once
aggressive.
Once they get big, they got it. They have to eat meat.
Yep.
They don't eat midges all day long when mm-hmm. they're 25 inches. They got to eat big stuff. So
yep.
There
so you throw a mouse or throw a 4-inch trout or a 6-inch trout at them and see what happens, man.
Yep.
So what when you sit down to tie up flies, you listen to anything in particular? You listen to music? You turn on TV? What do you do?
It depends. Depends on my mood. I like to, when I'm tying, if I'm going to listen to music, I'll listen to like AC/DC, Metallica, mm-hmm. stuff to kind of get me in a faster mood. Otherwise, right. if it's slow and, you know, and more relaxing, I'll just tie slow. I might tie half a dozen and I'm done. But if I listen to that faster right. stuff, I'll crank them out a little bit quicker. I don't sit down and tie for a real long time anyway.
Right.
You know, I'm good for maybe two dozen and that's about it. Hmm. But yeah, that's what I'll listen to mostly.
Work through a 25 pack and call it good for a night.
Yeah, pretty much. If that. Maybe a 6-pack to go along with it.
Or some
whiskey. That's always good. Sip on some rye or scotch, and that's probably more important than the music. Is the beverage.
The beverage of choice, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, flies will start, the quality will start going down.
It'll taper, but
a little bit.
you'll know.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Like, damn, when did I tie this fly? I don't remember that
nothing
one.
Nothing a little glue can't fix. It,
right. Or markers, or who knows. Yeah.
Yeah, or markers, or
scissors.
It's got a lot of flash on it. Holy cow. Well, good. I'll remember that for the spring when we get there. I'll bring some scotch for you.
There you go. Wait. For your Christmas gift to Boxwood, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll remember that.
Depends. We'll see who Jay puts on it.
If you show up with an ask with, I will gladly take you for free.
Yeah.
I'll pay that rod fee.
I don't see that happening.
Exactly. I don't see either one of those happening.
Let me hit the lotto, then we'll talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh shit, drop my mic. Hell, man. I like it. That's about all of our topics we've got.
Yeah.
So don't forget, people, to go to the Trout Porn website, order your calendars that are on sale right now. By the time this airs, the calendar for Troops will be over with, but nonetheless, I'll still tell you guys about it. This year we did, this is our second year, I think, third year maybe. We did calendars for Troops. You can buy a calendar, specify that you want them to go to overseas, and we'll send one overseas. But nice. Like I said, that ends at the end of November this month, and this episode will air, hold on, and I will tell you, in December. So yeah, don't buy calendars, but you can't send them to the Troops. Hmm. Buy them for Christmas.
Buy them always.
Yes, buy them always. Buy some koozies. Buy a hat.
Buy everything.
Go to 5280 Angler and get a trip and go fish Boxwood when it opens up.
Oh, another thing real quick too. For anyone that doesn't know, we guide in Pueblo now. We can guide in the state park in Pueblo.
That's what we were just talking about.
Right.
So you're going to be there possibly
this weekend.
Which by the time this airs
will be
a week ago.
Last weekend.
Yeah.
I'm going there last weekend.
Okay, you're going to go. I'm going to go there last weekend too.
Yeah, and it's fishing great, big fish. If you've never been down there, oh man, and it fishes great all winter long.
Yes, it does.
So
that's
check that out.
I love that. I love that it fishes
and it's
so great
warm
all year round. And Pueblo's always warm.
My God, I mean, I've had days there. It's
I
like
always say it's warm,
60, 70 degrees, and it's snowing up here.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I remember one of the last times we went there in the fall. We checked the weather. We're like, oh yeah, 60s.
Hell sweet. Yeah.
No jacket, no nothing. Go down there, it snows all goddamn day, and it's 41. Of course. I was like, Jesus, this is horrible. I'll never do this again.
Oh, man. Usually it doesn't go that way, though. Yeah. Usually it's toasty.
It's pretty warm all the time.
And dry flies, too. Blueing the olive hatches throughout the winter, usually. Or midges, anyway.
What size do you fish on the blue wings?
18, 20. Yeah, usually 20, I'd say.
Okay. I think I'm a little big on my dry.
Parachute Adams.
Okay.
Simple. They're not sophisticated, you know, but it's good down there.
Trout are not smart. They're picky sometimes, but they're not smart.
Exactly. That's a very big distinction.
Yeah.
Picky, but not smart.
Picky, but not smart.
Yep. I can be picky, too, but that doesn't mean I'm smart.
Right. And like we said a million times, people, if you have the right flight, doesn't matter if you drift as shit.
That's right.
And were you with us when we talked about this at the ISE?
Probably not. I was guiding that day at Boxwood, I think.
Oh, that's right. You were breaking up ice. I remember Jay's like, oh, I said, where's Jeremy at? Oh,
that was brutal.
He's breaking up ice at Boxwood for his clients. I'm like, oh, sweet.
We broke ice for like two hours. Oh, that was so brutal. But the fishing was good afterwards.
Yeah, that's what he said.
But
you don't have to look forward to that now.
I know. Thank God.
That's one thing you don't have to do this winter.
Yeah, I'd trade it, though. I would take that for having Boxwood open.
Yeah.
But, oh well.
Yeah, it's kind of a, you know, like Jay and I talked about last year, you guys had a great year last year. All through the winter time there and everything, and then.
Yeah. So this year we're trading Boxwood for Pueblo. I mean.
Not bad.
It's not bad, you know. I mean, it's not as close for Denver people, but
you don't get the species. It's
rainbows and browns.
It's a state park, you know. What are you gonna?
And some big ass fish too.
Yep.
I mean, Tom caught a 22-inch. His client caught a 22-inch fish the other day.
Yeah.
In the middle, in Pueblo. So
you guys have the whole state park. You just got to be in a. Okay.
We can fish all of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, from the dam all the way down through Pueblo. I mean, we can fish in Pueblo, too, just the regular city. We have the city permits as well, so we can fish the whole thing. And that's not as good, but but the whole state park, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So that's good. And then you guys have you guys are out west doing – you guys got some float trips out that way, too, right?
Yeah, Marcelo with Fish on Colorado, partner with us, I guess.
Okay.
He's doing float trips out on the Colorado and sometimes the Roaring Fork as well.
Nice.
So if anyone wants to do a float trip,
go do a float trip.
Look that up. Give Jay a call and he can hook you up with that.
Exactly. And do the whole lunch in the water.
I saw that.
That was badass.
That was pretty cool.
That was real badass.
Yeah. I had to look at that and I was like, wait, is that from the summertime? No, that was just the other day.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah. Stick the Yetis in the river and use them as a bench, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was talking about that with somebody the other day. I was like, man, that's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Put a chair in the river and just chill out, eat some lunch.
As long as the water's not too cold,
yeah.
Your feet are freezing all
day. Yeah,
but true. You're fearing a boat all day. Your feet should be all right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I saw that the other day. I was like, man, that's the way to go right there. All right. Well, before we end this. This podcast was brought to you by biologists and flight geeks at Ascent Fly Fishing. If you're ready to stop guessing and start catching more fish, every trip to the river, let the team at Ascent Fly Fishing match your hatch. Just tell them when and where you are fishing. They will build you a selection down the life cycle, the bugs that are on the water you are fishing. So, big shout out to all three sponsors. Thanks, Jeremy, for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Sunday evening.
Yeah, I'm tired. I'm going to go home and...
Go home.
Well, I might drink some beer and then go to sleep, but...
I had my tea. I'm good to go. I'll probably have some vodka and try and block out that Broncos game.
Make me cry.
We need a coach and a
quarterback
and possibly a new GM, so...
Yeah, a GM that needs to think about some offense, not just defense.
Good Lord. So, all right, people. Well, get out there and make some trout porn.